Today's episode is for all you people pleasers out there. You know who you are. You're going to love this discussion. I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, stepfamily life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this. Welcome, welcome. Our guest today has been here before, back on episode 61, and she recently published her first book, The People Pleaser's Guide to Co-Parenting Well. And if that piques your interest, you are not alone. As soon as I heard the title, I was like, I have to read this. Mickey Gardner, my guest today, is a certified life and conscious parenting coach. She's a mom, a speaker, and host of the Co-Parenting with Confidence podcast, and author of the book I just mentioned, The People Pleaser's Guide to Co-Parenting Well. Mickey's personal struggles with divorce motivated her to become a, quote, better mom so that she could better help her son overcome the challenges of their new family dynamic. Drawing on her academic background, professional training, and personal experience, she empowers other moms to move beyond the overwhelming obstacles of co-parenting and to thrive after divorce. Mickey strives to guide moms to navigate the divorce and co-parenting drama by becoming calm, confident co-parents, even without their ex's participation. Mickey is on a mission to help children by helping their moms learn to handle the emotional and practical difficulties of divorce and co-parenting while creating an intentional, joyful, and ease-filled life for both themselves and their children. So excited to welcome Mickey here today. She is also going to be a speaker at our Stepmom Summit in April. I will put the links to get on the list for that, as well as all of Mickey's links in the show notes. So let's dive in with Mickey. Mickey, I'm so glad to have you back. Thanks for coming.
Oh, me too. This is exciting. I'm so happy to talk to you, Cameron.
Yes. So in the time since you were here last, you have had like a big, huge life event. You have put out a book called The People Pleaser's Guide to Co-Parenting.
Co-parenting well, yeah.
Yes, distinction.
We got to add that well in there.
Well, I think that so many stepmoms can relate to, first, the concept of being a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit, before we get into all that, talk to me a little bit about like why you decided to write a book and why you decided to hit this topic.
Yeah, so thank you for asking that. I think, why did I hit this topic? It wasn't intended to be completely transparent with you. I started writing the book just about co-parenting. But the more that I started, because I wanted to tell it from the lens of my clients, from their stories, what they've been through, because I really think that we learn most from storytelling and from what other people have gone through. And the one common theme that I saw with each of the women and men, there's also a man that I highlight in the book, way to go, Tom, because there's some guys out there doing it, you know, like got to give them props doing this work. But what I really was seeing is that the people pleasing was just a common thread that was throughout every conversation. And it is with most of my clients. And so you start to look at that and you're like, okay, why are there so many people pleasers out there? Well, I think to start to understand, we have been conditioned and taught and raised and spoon-fed people pleasing. If you think about it from all the different aspects, you know, especially women, be a good girl. Be helpful. A good mom is selfless. She has no needs. She can just go and go and go and go and go. And don't rock the boat. Don't make anybody unhappy. Don't let people be uncomfortable in your presence. Don't be too big. Don't be too small, right? It's all of these things. And
it's the Barbie, you know, speech.
It is. Yes.
Well, it's so funny you mentioned that, because one of the passages that I had highlighted in your book, and I've got it right in front of me here, talks about that very issue about women and girls being conditioned from birth to be these good girls. And I love how you frame this. You talk about the motivation offer. I'm just reading from the book here. Motivation offered to us hand in hand with the pressure to be these things is that, quote, you will receive love and praise when you do the right thing, when you do it well, when you are perfect. So you default back to repeat the pattern, trying to be perfect so that you can feel more loved.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that resonates with so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that I want to say, you know, because people pleasers are awesome. I think we're incredible. I think we are sort of unsung heroes, because who doesn't love us? We're helpful. We're accommodating. We get everything done. We take care of everyone. We're usually really happy and friendly and great, right? People love people pleasers. So it's reinforced, right? But, and so people pleasing isn't necessarily a problem, because people will, you know, my clients will say, well, mom, or mom, Mickey, isn't that just being a good mom, right? Being, doing all these things? Yes. Right? That is part of being in relationship. You want to please the people around you. There is a shadow side, though. And that is what I'm talking about, is the shadow side, where we are prioritizing other people, their feelings, their opinions and experiences at the expense of ourselves. That is where people pleasing has sort of the problem. That's where it comes in. So I want to go ahead and sort of, step into people pleasing in a way that is supportive and loving and fulfilling and makes you feel good. But when we're using it, right, to escape or to hide or to ignore or to deflect, this is where the issue is. And when we really start to learn more and more about it, you know, it's like learning, what we do is we're trying to keep the peace, right, for everyone around us. But the one thing that you never experience is peace, because you're so busy trying to keep it. Right. And that's where the problem comes in. And when we really start to pull back the layers, the root cause of people pleasing is simply our own ability. It's our inability to handle the discomfort or the unease we feel in our body. So it actually has nothing to do with the other people. And it's a lot to do with our inability to be handle, right? Because of all these cultural conditioning. Because when you're told to be a good girl, or told to be quiet, and you're not, what happens? You get pushed out. You get time out, right? Like, if you're not going to have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. My mom said this to me all the time. I still use it all the time. And I catch myself now, because I'm like, no. I get to choose this. But it's these little, like, kind of insidious things that come through that actually make it uncomfortable for us. And when we're uncomfortable, that's when we can default to this people pleasing, which I think, especially after divorce, especially with step parenting, you really want people to like you, to be okay, to be, you know, happy, so to speak. And it can be really easy to default to this. And so that's why I ended up kind of pivoting and using this as the lens for the book.
Well, and I think, especially for step parents, you know, they come into this role, and for stepmoms, there's already a stigma, right? Like, you're already walking into the baseball game to watch your stepkid play thinking, what are these other moms thinking about me? What have they heard about me? You're already like, are they going to like me? Mm-hmm. So, you know, your inclination already is to sort of push your needs to the side, because I want them to like me, you know? And even when you're dealing with an ex who, you know, is nasty to you or whatever, like, why won't she like me? It sort of comes down to that, you know, the little girl inside of you, right?
Like, Absolutely.
Now, I noticed that you said we people pleasers. So you clearly identify as a people pleaser. So talk to me about your journey as a people pleaser and how you kind of navigated this and sort of found your way to the good, you know, the nice side of people pleasing and not the shadow side.
Yeah, I open the book with a story from my own life, which sort of highlights the people pleasing to me in a nutshell, and I'll summarize it here. But my son was probably around 5 or 6. So we were maybe a year or two after the divorce. And he was really struggling. He was having stomach issues, anxiety, just, you know, sort of quote unquote, the normal kind of issues. But I had tried so hard. I was convinced that I could get divorced and that we were just going to sail through. Like, this was just going to be a short blip in what was going to be a perfect solution for everybody.
It's a lovely aspiration.
Thank you. Yes. Misguided, but it was there. And it was a good goal, right? Like, I really wanted to minimize the impact on my son, which that's the good part. Where I was starting to see is that I was people pleasing everyone. And AKA, that's just a really polite term for controlling, right? I was trying to control everyone and everything so that I could feel okay. But I didn't understand it at that time. And I remember we were in the naturopath's office, getting ready to do, you know, like blood tests, poop tests, all the tests, you know, and my kids' like eyes are getting bigger and bigger. And the doctor left to go get whatever she was getting. And he looked at me, and his dad was sitting there. He looked at me and he goes, "Mama, why are we here?" And I gave him the speech. "Well, honey, you know, if there's a resource that can make things better, we're going to find it and we're going to do it. And we're going to make sure that you have everything that you need to be confident and happy and blah, blah, blah," to a 5-year-old, right? And he looks at me and he goes, "But Mama, I don't think I'm broken." And it...
Did that just like cut you to the
core? Crushed my heart.
Yeah.
But again, I was so much in the place of denial, unaware of what was going on, that I just, of course you're not broken. We're not going to do that. You know, I just, again, tried to people please my way around it. And it was probably, if I'm being honest, months until I really started to find myself at that place, looking around going, "What the heck is going on? What have I created? What am I doing? Why do I feel so miserable? And why am I telling my kid he's broken with my actions?" And that for me was really the start of something has to shift. And that's when I really started to get to work on figuring out what was going on. And, you know, for me, a lot of it was learning how to just simply, you know, the framework that I teach in the book came after the fact, but it's learning how to be aware of what's going on, right? An honest appraisal and awareness of what's happening. That means that we're aware of our emotions, aware of when we're getting triggered, aware of when we're lashing out, when we're acting out. And then agency, which is a fancy word for choice, understanding that we have choices, right? And the choices I was making at that time were very, looked good on the surface, right? But they were all to avoid, you know, the uncomfortableness that I had versus learning how to make choices that are aligned with what I want. And that's the third step, aligned action. How do I keep going even when it's hard in the direction that I want to go? Because if we're not aware and making choices consciously and choosing the direction that we're going, we are simply reacting to the world around us. And this to me is what is happening across the board. What we're seeing is just like radical reactivity from people. And it's, you know, they're not meaning to do it, many of them, but it's not understanding. We're not having the awareness, and we have to learn how to slow down so that we can take, I say we've got to get out of reaction and we need to get into responsibility, which is the ability to respond. Mm-hmm. And when we start to step into responsibility 100%, this is a game changer. And this is what helps us get out of people pleasing in the negative light, right? And we start creating our own peace. And when we create our own peace, we are the single biggest positive influence in our families. When we are less reactive, when we are less trying to keep the peace and just minimize the damage, and when we are truly grounded and strong and firm within our calm, that's the game changer. And, you know, for me, it took years and a lot of mess to clean up. And that's why I wanted to write the book. And certainly why I do the work I do now is to help other women maybe sort of circumvent or avoid some of the pitfalls that I did from just being so unaware and not reaching out, not getting help.
Well, and it's hard too, because I think, you know, when, particularly for stepmoms who get into blended family life, you know, you jump in and it's not like a first family where you have time to like get used to being married and make decisions about babies and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, you are jumping into the deep end of the pool. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden there's all this stuff in your life that is out of your control. And mm-hmm. so it almost adds to that feeling of being overwhelmed and not being able to figure out what you can actually take control of or take responsibility mm-hmm. for. And like, it's almost like a vicious cycle, right? Where, yeah. you know, you're in the deep end, you're just trying to keep your head above water. And mm-hmm. in doing so, you're giving away more and more of your control. Mm-hmm. So what's the forcing event? Like, how, when you meet someone who is in that sort of, you know, acute situation of like, I am drowning and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. What's the first step for them?
The first step is really building awareness as best you can, right? And awareness is simply, you know, I come from the conscious parenting angle, which just means we're aware of what we're doing and why, even when that awareness comes after the fact. So we're just trying to become more aware of our emotions. Emotional regulation is the key to parenting, to adulting, to relationships, life. Right? Life. Being able to regulate your own emotions. And this is not a skill that we are taught. There is no shame when you don't know how to do it. But we really have to start there, is to understand, like, I even to know I'm having a big emotion, because mm-hmm. what we are really, really, really good at is ignoring, suppressing, avoiding, numbing, right? I mean, look, any commercial on TV is like, how to avoid feeling your feelings, right? Buy this,
that's so true.
Take this, right? Take this drug, do this thing, have this cocktail, have, you know, escape to this vacation, whatever it is, right? We are in an instant gratification world right now, with a brain that is meant to be living in caveman days. That is a really difficult mix, right? And so we have to understand like the emotions that we're having, learn how to regulate our emotions, because it's our emotions that come first. Then we can start to look at, okay, now I've got this amazing brain who, by the way, isn't always the most effective or honest thing, you know, on the planet. Yeah. So how do I manage this thing between my two ears, right? And so I think that's part of the issue, is that for so long we've been taught to try to think our way out of things. But what we have to do is learn how to connect our mind and our body and understand the awareness that our body is giving us. Emotions are simply messengers in our body to signal if we are out of alignment or in alignment. Right? Is there an issue? Is there no issue? Are we balanced? Are we not balanced? Is there danger? Is there not danger? Right? And so emotions are simply these little messengers. They're not trying to hurt us. They're trying to send messages. And so we have to start there to understand, okay, what is the message that this, you know, emotion has for me, whether that's anger. You know, anger is necessary and needed. Anger is simply telling you that there is an unmet need. But we are conditioned again. You know, there's nothing, there's a saying, like, there's nothing worse than a woman's, you know, angry scorn or whatever. We're like conditioned to like not ever be angry. No, it's necessary. It's needed. It actually helps direct us to what we need to do, but we need to know how to understand and express that differently. Because what most of us are afraid of is the negative reactions that people have to their anger, to their disappointment, to their frustration. So it's not the emotion we're afraid of, it's the way that it manifests. And so the more that we can start to become aware, the more chance we have to deal with it differently.
Yeah. And we are made to feel guilty for having these emotions mm-hmm. too. I mean, one of the things that I see all the time, and I'm sure you do too, is, you know, stepmoms and step parents who feel bad for the way that they feel. They feel mm-hmm. bad because they don't really like their stepkid. They feel bad because, you know, they're having some secret thoughts of like, mm-hmm. why did I do this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think your point that like these emotions, and I always say this to my stepmoms, like, what you're feeling is normal. It is okay to feel like that. It's mm-hmm. okay if you don't like your stepkid. Mm-hmm. It's not okay to treat them with disrespect. You need to have a respectful household, but it's okay to have those emotions. Mm-hmm. You're not going to like them all the time. you know,
you're not like your own kids all the time or your spouse. Yeah, for sure. Like,
but we're so conditioned that you have to feel these certain emotions. You have to, I mean, using that example, like, well, so you've got this instant family. Of course you're marrying someone with kids. Of course you love the kids. You have to love the kids. What do you mean you don't love the kids? What's wrong with you? You know, and this sort of shame cycle that, you know.
Yeah. So I think, you know, to that person who's really struggling with it, I love that they have your community, right? And that you offer a space to be able to be honest about what's going on, because we need to be able to say, because your emotions are valid. They're necessary, they're needed, and they matter. Now, and to your point, we don't need to act on every single one of them. No, that's just adult temper tantruming, right? Yeah. But we can't ignore them or act like they don't exist, because, you know, one thing that I always remind myself for sure and my clients of, an emotion will never leave your body until it is fully processed. So if we don't process that anger or that guilt or that grief or whatever it is, we're literally saying to it, not now, just stay here, I'll deal with you later. That is okay in the moment when, like, the three ring circus of life is happening in your kitchen and you don't have time to deal with the emotion. What the problem becomes is when we are just massive stuffers of emotion and it just builds up and up and up like plaque in our body. You know, this is what they're finding more and more is the cause of inflammation, the cause of stress on the body, the cause of so many issues, because we literally are suppressing and kind of saving our negative emotions for later. And the other thing is, if we're not willing to feel the negative emotions, we kind of dumb down or pull down on the good emotions, on the ones we want to feel, right? If we're so busy avoiding anger or frustration or disappointment or guilt, right? What we're doing is we're not allowing ourselves to feel calm and joy and laughter and fun. And so we've got to sort of learn how to regulate so that we actually get the full experience, because we were given all these emotions for a reason. And we want to be able to navigate them differently. And so that's really the work that I wanted to talk about and wanted to sort of bring to this space.
I love it. And you've done a great job. This book is fantastic.
Thank you.
Let me ask you sort of a little off topic, but maybe adjacent to the people pleaser topic, because as we're talking about all of this and stuffing down emotions and doing this work on ourselves, you know, it occurred to me when you were talking about the, you know, instant gratification and you see the TV commercials. And I feel like it's that way with the self-care industry, right? So you have like these billions and billions of dollars that are put into advertising and selling us, you know, lavender baths and eucalyptus shower sprays, which, by the way, I have and love. Sure. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but
nothing wrong.
That's the quick fix that you're not going to actually get. And the real self-care, isn't it doing the work you're talking about? Isn't that the self-care that we should really be focusing on?
Yeah, 100%, right? True self-care is taking care of yourself, right? Mind, body, spirit. And that can't be done with a manicure and a bubble bath. Yes, those things can absolutely make you feel good in the moment and wonderful, but really learning how to not react and pull back and start to choose, I think that this is a form of self-care. Giving yourself what you need is a form of self-care. Now, the great thing is that we're just animals dressed up in fancy clothing, right? But we have pretty basic needs. We're not overly complex. But when we ignore and don't give ourselves, restrict those needs being met, this is where things really can ramp up. And so to me, it's looking at taking care of your basic needs. Sleep. How much water are you getting? Are you getting good food? Are you getting sunlight on your face? Are you exercising? Right? They're not overly sexy or glamorous things, but really starting to become aware of what is working, what am I doing in support of who I want to be, and where am I restricting that? And that kind of awareness is one of the first steps. I was just talking to a client the other day, and I asked her, because she's doing so well. I mean, her co-parenting relationship has shifted. she's feeling so much less stress in the relationship and how things are going. And I said, what is it that shifted? And she said, I drink water, I go to sleep, and I exercise, right? And she's got a little 2-year-old. But it was just the sheer fact of putting her needs as non-negotiables, right? And that's one of those things is we have to decide that we matter and that we have to keep ourselves filled up. Otherwise, we have nothing to give. And so learning how to do that in a way that is supportive for you, I think is really important, because when you are more filled up, when you have more to give, this actually impacts your ability to be more aware and more responsive. We get triggered when we are depleted, right? Mm-hmm.
That is like, true.
And so the point isn't to just not get triggered. Like if we're thinking about it as like a cliff, the point isn't to not jump, just not jump off the cliff and get triggered. No, what we want to do is kind of actually step back 10, 20 steps and say, you know, when did you even get on the road that led to the cliff? Let's right. go back there and start to reroute, right? That's that aligned action. And we have to do that through pausing, creating space and time to actually look at what am I doing without judgment, without blame, just really what am I doing and where am I supporting or not supporting myself? Because then we can start to see the patterns. I mean, I know, Cameron, you probably hear this all the time. We are so surprised when our spouse or the kid or the stepkid does the same thing that they do 20 times a day. And we're like, oh, what? How? I can't believe he just did that. Really? Because I think he did it a million times, right? And so
yeah, totally.
We've got to learn to be unsurprised by the patterns that we're in, because then we're less reactive, right? And it's really, I love that you brought that part of self-care up, because it's counterintuitive and it feels like, no, I should be doing for everyone else. But actually, we have to start with you, because you are the model for what you are asking for, right? We teach people how to treat us. And I always like to think of it, and that was really, there's been a number of times in my journey, once the night I decided to ask for a divorce, and several times after, where I had a moment where I was looking at myself, right, from like outside of my body. And I heard a very clear voice ask, is this what you want Leland to see? Leland's my son. Is this what you want him to see as a mom and a wife? And it was a hard no. Mm-hmm. And those are the moments where we have to say, okay, I'm either going to beat myself up, I'm going to shame myself, and I'm going to like put my head down and just run, or I'm going to step back and really start to do the basic things that I need so that I can assess the situation so that I can move forward. Because we have to be willing to do that. And the thing about, you know, self-care is when we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not really filling ourselves up, we actually make it harder to problem solve. We make it harder to get through the difficult times because we're just not equipped. So we really have to sort of back up and start. I like to think of it as reverse engineering. Let's decide where we want to go. And then we have to reverse engineer how to get there.
Totally. Right?
It's not just like, oh, I want to be this person. And so I'm just going to act my way there. You can't act your way there. You got to figure out, well, how do I want to feel? How do I create that feeling? What is it that I'm going to do or not do? And really, again, start to just step by step by step.
I love
and then
that.
There's a tipping point.
Yeah. And I love that you can even start small, like while you're looking at these big questions, just like, are you getting enough water?
Yeah.
You know, are you getting outside for a minute? Are you exercising for a minute? You know what I mean? I think that like taking the little bites of it for somebody who's really drowning is an easy thing to do while they're maybe taking a look at some of these bigger things.
Absolutely. You know? And I want to say too, because what keeps coming up, I know I'll be totally honest, I think I have a good relationship with my son's stepmom, especially given everything that's gone on. I feel like we've done a really beautiful job. They came to the book signing or the book party. It was wonderful. We were all there, you know, and we, a friend of ours who was the best man at our wedding, he was there. he has a very difficult co-parenting relationship. He has an amazing wife who is a stepmom extraordinaire. But he pulled me aside and he said, you know what, Mickey, it's really beautiful to see you guys, because he's seen the whole journey. And he said, to see you here supporting each other and then supporting you, you know, he said, it really warms my heart. But the reason I bring this up is, even when on the outside those things look like that, I am very cautious, I'll use that word, in not knowing how to approach her many times, because I can't imagine how difficult that journey is, right? And I know too, from having sort of done the blended family thing, it's very, there is just a lot of complexity for stepmoms. And there's no clear path. And that's why I think this work is so crucial, because each one of us has the answers for our individual situation, but we need support and community to help be able to uncover those. And totally. That's this work.
Totally. Totally. Well, this is so fascinating. And the book is great. Tell folks where Thank they can you. Find you. You can get the book on Amazon. But tell folks where they can find you, and I'll make sure that there are links to all of your social media and to the book and all that good stuff in the show notes.
Thank you. Yeah. The books, anywhere books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Walmart, all those places. But Amazon's easy. I think we all get our books there. Yeah. And then social, I'm on Instagram, and my website are both the same, which is just my name, Mickey Gardner. M as in Mary, I-K-K-I. Gardner. So that I try to keep it pretty easy. And so you can find me there. I spend a lot of time on Instagram. And I would love to, you know, answer any questions about the book. I did also create, I didn't print it, but I have a downloadable workbook, a companion workbook to the book. Great. Yeah, which I think is awesome. It probably has too much good stuff in it. It's like, it's really big. But I love it because it actually can help you sort of take what we're talking about in the book and then break it down into those little chunks to start looking at things, you know, looking at different ways to become less reactive, learning how to pause. So there's exercises and things to go along with it. So if you would like to get that, I would be happy to gift you that for free. All you have to do is Instagram DM me with a picture of you with the book or your receipt, and I will email it to you.
That is awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mickey. It was another great discussion, and really appreciate you joining me. And we'll see you in a couple months at the Stepmom Summit.
That sounds perfect. And Cameron, thank you for all you're doing and light you are shining into this community. I'm grateful for all that you do. So thank you for having me.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.